Last week, the listserv of the Minnesota Ornithologists Union had a heated exchange about whether or not people should post precise locations of northern owls. It's a complicated issue. There are known cases of birds whose nests failed or who themselves died from the constant stress of hordes of birders gawking at them. In Chicago, an extremely rare burrowing owl turned up on Montrose Beach. So many birders turned up, each one in turn searching for the owl in the low vegetation and making it flush, that a Cooper's hawk flew in and grabbed it for an easy meal. One of my favorite people, Bob Russell with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, cited some cases of what excessive pressure on birds can do. He wrote to the listserv, "Concentrations of long-eared owls usually require dense cover and adjacent foraging fields. Disturbing these birds from favored roosts could force wintering owls into much less optimum habitat or lead to poorer cover where they could be preyed upon by great horned owls and eagles or harassed by crows and insensitive photographers. Most owls sleep during the daytime, and when the noise of birders and photographers approaching too close and harassing the owl to open its eyes for a better photo, the bird obviously suffers from not being able to stay as warm as it would when it's all fluffed up and asleep. Since starvation is a factor in the deaths of many wintering great gray and boreal owls and perhaps other owl species, even one afternoon of disturbed rest or no rest could be the difference between an owl making it or not making it through the next day." Bob Russell continues, "Stomping down a path through snow to get to such roosts is not much different than beating down grass to get to a bird nest in summer. It provides an easy pathway for a four-legged predator to approach the roost site. In my own experience, when birders flocked to the Sac Zim Bog during the owl invasion in 2004 and 5, quite a few owls were killed by cars, and many birders, particularly photographers, were seen tossing out white mice and gerbils to the owls, often right next to roads. This is a standard practice for getting owls to fly in close for photographs, and is also used for banding certain owls, though not the ones caught in banding stations such as at Hawk Ridge, where the birds simply fly into mist nets as they migrate through. I personally find baiting with live rodents to be unacceptably cruel to the little animals. People may not find rodents endearing, but they do suffer going from a warm pet shop to being tossed out in the icy snow before being ripped apart. I sort of accept this as a necessary evil for research because owl banding provides valuable information that helps us understand and track population trends and has provided critical information needed to develop conservation plans that benefit a great many owls. Owl banders also often provide first aid or food as they band owls, increasing their individual longevity. But in my mind, baiting with mice is unjustifiable when it's just for the personal pleasure or profit of getting a photo. It's also risky. Minnesota children have contracted salmonella poisoning from pet store mice, and those children weren't actually eating the mice. It's almost definitely more dangerous for owls. Even worse, some photographers cast out fake mice on fishing lines to control the owls' movements. Because of the way owls cast pellets, to conserve fluids, they empty the contents of their glandular stomach before spitting up the pellet. This means that before digesting anything new, they must get those fluids back into their stomach from their bloodstream and interstitial tissues before their next meal. This process begins when they're in pursuit of prey and can throw an owl's electrolytes out of kilter when it chases something it thinks is prey but comes up empty. This is particularly dangerous for owls who haven't eaten in a while. When I rehabbed birds, I always administered fluids to emaciated owls before feeding them. That is why I'm reluctant to post some of my own sightings of owls and some other rare birds, but tomorrow I'll talk about the other side of the debate. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.